I guess I'll just move up here. Well, we finished the book of Romans. It took us better than a year, but we did it. And now we are going to move into the book of Hebrews. And this will probably take us a year or better too. Especially as we break some things up than others. Little ones can go with Donna. But we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, and today we're just going to do an introduction and kind of check out a little bit about the book before we jump into it, kind of a preface. So let's just bow our heads and seek the Lord. Father, as we come before you this morning, we seek your will, that you would show us your word and your hand moving in it. Show us how to apply it to our lives. Or give us supernatural understanding, that which doesn't come from the wisdom of man, but which comes from you and your Holy Spirit within us. Let your Holy Spirit speak to each of us and show us your word and show us how to apply it and use it each day of our lives. For it is indeed a living, breathing word which is new and fresh every day. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I seek to preach and teach the book of Hebrews. Lord, I pray that I would not stumble and seek to preach out of my strength, but instead it would all come from you and your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would use me to encourage your people, that they might be blessed and brought closer to you. Now, Lord, we pray for your presence here. And might your presence shine always in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is normally where I would just throw up the text and we would read it, but I am looking at the entirety of the book of Hebrews, and we're not going to do that this morning. Because by the time we got done reading the book of Hebrews, we would be done and then time to leave, because it is quite a good-sized book. It reads almost like a sermon. In fact, there's question as to whether or not it's really a letter or not, or if it may have been a sermon. There's a lot of questions about Hebrews. If you have a King James Bible, if you look at the title which they put over it, it says, the epistle from the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews. Now, that's something which the editors of the King James Bible put in. They didn't find that in the translation, in the text at all. And there nowhere does it tell us that who it indeed was the author. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. Who it was who put the pen to paper and wrote it. We do know for a fact, though, that the author is God. Just as the author of Romans, though written by Paul and, well, I already forgot his name, by Tertius. He was the scribe who wrote it down as Paul dictated, but it was God who dictated to Paul and inspired Paul in what to write. So Hebrews, we don't know the author. It doesn't have the usual letter format. That's all epistle means is letter. It's just Greek for letter. And we look at Romans and we don't, or Hebrews, and it just jumps right in. It says, well, that pen broke. It's up here before we get ink on the carpet. must have take more than 10 pounds to crush that. I'm sure that's all I weigh. In Hebrews, it opens up, there is no introduction. You look at all of Paul's letters, the other rest of them, and even the letters written by Timothy and by John, Jude, you see, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. That's how he starts it out. In Philemon. Colossians. Paul, an apostle of the Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians starts out, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. We look 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. That was the regular form for starting the letter. We don't have that. It starts out, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. That sounds like a sermon to me. It may be that this was part of a sermon or class teaching that was written down and sent to a group. But it's not in a regular letter, so we don't have that regular information, because normally that's the point where we see the author. Maybe the fact that we don't know who the author is has something to do with the times when it was written. We don't know exactly when it was written. We do know a time frame, roughly between 64 A.D. and 70 A.D., Some people go between 64 and 68, and some people go 66 to 70. But we'll take the longer gap and combine them and say, you know, we can pretty much say, based upon the contents of the letter, what's spoken here, that comes after Nero's, the fire in Rome, and Nero starts persecuting the Christians for that fire. He blames them. Some think that Nero started the fire so that he could rebuild his palace and rebuild part of the city. But he blamed the Christians for it. So we don't know who started the fire. Christians are blamed. And Nero persecutes the Christians. And some of that persecution is spoken of in the letter of Hebrews. So that's how we get our early date. The letter focuses a lot upon the temple. And upon the priesthood. And upon the sacrifice that goes on. In the year 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. If the temple had been destroyed, it is unlikely, based upon what the contents of the letter or to the Hebrews, that that information wouldn't have been touched upon. So that's how we get our brackets. So still, who wrote it? We don't know. We know it was somebody who was well recognized amongst the church at that time. Somebody who was recognized as an authority, a teacher. Was it Paul? It's possible. But internal evidence tends to make us think, nope. Why? Because it really doesn't read like Paul. He talks about things differently than the rest of his letters. Okay, well, some think that it's been put forth, maybe it was Luke. Well, it's got some stuff similar to Luke, but maybe different. Obviously, Hebrews was influenced by Paul. We see that. But is it Luke? Well, there isn't enough similarities between Acts and the Gospel of Luke and Hebrews for people to feel comfortable with saying, yeah, we think it's the same author. And again, in Luke's, in both Acts and the Gospel of Luke, Luke identified himself. Maybe, again, the author didn't identify himself because of those turbulent times and didn't want to bring those repercussions of the church directly upon himself or herself. Because one of the people who is put forth as a strong possibility is Priscilla, who was well respected within the church, a strong teacher, and it could well have been her. And maybe that's why there isn't a list there, because it was very much a patriarchal society, and a letter from a woman wouldn't necessarily would have been dismissed by many without having been read. That's one possibility, and maybe she wrote it and it was just left out for those who didn't quite recognize who it was. Those who knew her were already well respected, they're going to listen to what she has to say. Those others, we're not going to put her name out front, let them read it, we'll tell them later who wrote it. Well, another option, Barnabas or Apollos. See, we've got lots of options. But see, there's nothing definitive in the letter that tells us who wrote it. Except we do know God wrote it. Okay? The wonderful thing about the Bible is why it has many human hands which put pen to paper. It did indeed only have one author. And that's why there's a continuity which runs from Genesis to Revelation. It's not disjointed. It doesn't conflict. The teachings progress. And there are changes. There's new revelation. Just as a young child grows from an infant to be a teenager to an adult and finally goes to be with the Lord or face judgment in some form. Now, but it's all one life. This is all one author, the work of one author. The book of Romans was written by Paul and was directed to the Gentile church in Rome. It is thought possibly that this is to the Hebrew church in Rome. Again, another reason not to put the author's name on. Again, as Rome is where the worst of that persecution was going on at the time. We have evidence where it talks about others from Italy say hello. So they think we're talking to people in Italy. The rest of us who used to be live in Italy, we're saying hi to you, kind of thing. So we have this. Hebrews is kind of a confusing book. When does it start out? Because we don't know for sure who wrote it, other than God. And we know that God wrote it as it has indeed tested the time of the test of time through the church, as we've read it in canonicity, as people have compared it to the other books and say, yes, it does fit. It is indeed the work of God. You say, well, how do you know? Well, that's the same way. You take a $20 bill and you set another $20 bill next to it. It may not have come off the same printing press, but you can sure tell that whether they're both good or not. If you got a bad $20 bill and you set them next to the good ones, somebody who knows $20 bills can tell the difference. Well, we know through the infilling of the Holy Spirit what is of God and what isn't. And the church, over the last 2,000 years, has been steadfast in its acceptance that Hebrews is indeed a book of God. So we know that God wrote it. We know that it was between 64 and 70 AD. We know that it's written in a time of disruption. There's persecution going on. There's tough times. And that's one of the reasons why it's written. See, it's written to a group of Hebrews who are believers. These days we call them Messianic Jews. Then they just called them Hebrews. They didn't have, time to come up with names like that, I guess. I don't know. But we've had 2,000 years and we can come up with these things. Give me time and I can come up with a good idea. Well, One of the things that this group is having difficulties with is the persecution. They're not having it easy. And some of them are considering, you know, how about we just go back to being just Jews and stop following this Jesus? It'd be so much easier. Because while the Jews aren't the toast of the town in Rome, they're not being persecuted like the Christians are. The Christians are, I mean, it's being taken to them big time. It's not easy. And all my friends and family are telling me I ought to get out of this, that, you know, we need to go, you know, need to pack up and maybe go to the temple in Jerusalem and offer a sacrifice. And Paul, not Paul, I'm sorry, but the writer of Hebrews here, God speaks to them and tells them, don't do it. Also tells them, or I should say calls them to task for the fact that they've all been Christians long enough now that they should be more mature in the faith. They should be teachers, but they're still kind of looking for the milk. They want the easy teachings. They want the, Jesus loves me, this I know. Oh gosh, I sound bad, don't I? But should turn me off when I sing that. But don't we just love the Jesus loves me teaching? And we want that. And it is truth. And it helps us get strong when we're young. But don't we also need the God is righteous and will hold me accountable and will bring discipline against me if I'm bad teaching? Because He will, because He loves me, so He will discipline me. If I love my child, I will discipline my child. That's what Scripture tells us to do. That's what God does. Anybody here like being disciplined? No. Nobody likes it. It's a hard teaching. I need to be disciplined. Yes, Lord, give me discipline. Please. So, it sounds like one of those Marine things. I just got this picture in my mind of one of those frat movies where the guy smacks him on the butt with a board. Thank you, sir. May I have another? You're going, Pastor, you've lost it. Maybe. But it's hard for us to ask for discipline. Sometimes when we see people asking to be disciplined, we say, you're nuts like that frat guy. God doesn't do it just to be mean. God brings discipline because out of discipline flows correction and growth and strength. That's why it comes. But yet, these teachers, or these people who should be teachers, instead of seeking after these tougher teachings like that, that God is a righteous God, that the elder brother, maturity-wise, needs to put their own fleshly desires down in order so as not to be a bad example to the younger brother or sister. Those teachings are more difficult to take. I want to stick with the Jesus loves me. The stuff that Jesus has to be Lord of my life, I got to do what He says. Oh, now you're getting hard. Yeah. Well, the writer of Hebrews is coming up to these people and say, hey, get with the program. You need to be taking all the teaching now. You should be getting the meat. Because you need the meat, something to chew on, something to really help you grow strong. and mature. That's what the letter's dealing with. It comes up and it lays out for us this about Jesus. This is such a treaty on who Jesus is. It shows us the superiority of Jesus Christ, the person. It shows the superiority of the work that Jesus did on the cross versus the work the priests do at the temple. It shows the superiority of the Christian's walk of faith versus obedience to the law. And it lays this out. Compares and contrasts Jesus with the sacrificial system. And shows us how Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Is indeed God Himself. Hebrews doesn't leave any doubt of who Jesus is. It's a strong book. It's one that isn't easily digested because it is meat. It's not milk. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. Read Hebrews. I'm going to ask that you read Hebrews once a week till we're done. You say, Pastor, didn't you say you're going to take at least a year? Yep. Is there really any point to reading this thing 52 times? Yes, there is. It's a huge point. And you will find things. I guarantee it. Each week you read it, you will find and discover something new. Now it's 13 chapters. In my Bible, that's goes from page 1224 to page 1234. That's 11 pages. Oh my goodness. Not that much reading. One seating. If you're a slow reader, it could conceivably take you 2 hours. If you're a faster reader, you should be done in a half hour. If you're a quick reader, you can be much faster. I know people that can do that and, you know, read all those pages in less than a minute. That's not me. But there are people like that. I would encourage you not to read it at that pace. But let's say it does take you 2 hours to read it. Well, if you took 20 minutes a day, you'd have it read in a week, no problem. You would. You even wouldn't have to read one day. Nah, go ahead. Read it. There's a couple reasons why I'm going to want you to read it. One, to hold me accountable. Because if I asked you to read it, that means now I got to read it too every week, the whole thing. I can't just read the part that I'm going to be preaching on this week. So this is going to help hold me accountable. Because I'm asking you to do it, that means I got to be doing it too. Because as much as I'm up here preaching for all you, I'm also preaching for me. I need it. I need the encouragement that's going to come from this word, from this letter. We're going to read it each week. And refresh it and find it new. And as we look at it and learn it and become familiar with it, the Lord's just going to open it up for us in a way that you've never seen it before. That's going to come just through the repetition of reading it every week. Don't skim it. Read it. I'd also encourage you, as you're reading it, every once in a while to check out one of the quotations and one of the allusions within Hebrews. Hebrews is filled with Old Testament quotations. In fact, it has the most Old Testament quotations of any book in the New Testament. There are 29 direct quotes from the Old Testament in Hebrews. That's better than two per chapter. It has 54 allusions where it references, just talks about something that occurs in the Old Testament. Check these out as we go through, as we're working in a particular week. I'm Matt Letter. Maybe you're going to read that one a little bit more depth and, oh, pastor's going to be here next week or this next Sunday. Because you'll always know, remember, I take it in order, where we're going to be going. You may not know where I'm going to start or stop, but you'll know where I'm going to start. I'm going to start where I stopped last week. Now, what the difference there is, I will take a break at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the month of January, we will do stewardship, as I always do. And at Good Friday and Easter, I'll be going somewhere else. But the rest of the year, it's going to be Hebrews. Check out these things. This is a very scholarly letter, sermon, treaty. The book of Hebrews is one which God wrote to encourage us here yet today. It was immediately for the Hebrews, possibly in Rome, to help them through their difficult times. Anybody here not have difficult times? Okay. It's for us too. There's a lot we can learn from it. It's going to show us how the Old Testament leads us to Jesus. It's going to show us how God is indeed the author of this book. One of the interesting things here is when the writer of Hebrews throws out a quote, quite often he'll give the attribution, God said. But when you look up the quote, you'll find that it was maybe David speaking in a psalm. You say, well, hold it. The writer's wrong. No, he's not. Because David spoke in that psalm through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, what we have is God. We see God's authorship of this book, and it's shown, and it's really brought out in Hebrews. We're going to learn that. We're going to learn some of the deeper teachings, some of the meat about the person of God, about the person of Jesus. The need for a blood sacrifice and how Jesus fulfilled it. And how He is so much better than the old sacrificial system. So, I want to leave you with one quote from Hebrews. Maybe it's a passage which you are familiar with, and many of you maybe even memorized. I know Gloria has. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. This is the Word of God which we are studying. And it's to God to whom we must give account for how we study it. So let's be faithful as we do over the next year. Pursue our study of the book of Hebrews. And we be faithful to God. Let's close. Father, we do thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word, which You have given us. Help us, Lord, to study it and learn from it. And again, to apply it to our lives. For we ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's all stand as we close.